Balance.
Good afternoon, everybody. 4:50. Located on the traditional home of the guy. The Geiger Hunt of the Pottawatomie County Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Geiger Hunt of dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Geiger Hunt of people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Thank you again, everybody, for being here, and I will turn it over to Vice President Lombardi.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, all of you. Thank you for being here. It's really great to be back with you. I hope everyone's semester is off to a good start. I want to start, as always, with some updates on our academic program, since in the end, that's why we're all here. First of all, I am very pleased to share the appointment of Professor Jamila Michener from the Department of Government and also Senior Associate Dean of Public Engagement at the Brooks School of Policy as the inaugural director of the Center for Racial Justice and Equitable Futures. This center, which has been a while in the making, is now going to launch, and it will connect and amplify the university's research and scholarship around issues of racial injustice and inequality and its work to develop more just and equitable public policy. I also want to share news of two new minors that are available for Cornell, undergraduates, one in digital agriculture. This is a multidisciplinary field focused on food and agriculture production systems and the use of digital tools to develop better and more sustainable farming practices. The minor is appropriate for those with a broad range of interests in how technology impacted farms and work. Second minor, Center for Cancer Biology, Center for Immunology. It will also promote. Second, I think everybody knows, like, dorm is where our students take courses in computer science. So the Anna Bowers College of Computer Science will be getting a new state-of-the-art academic building supported by a transformational gift from Bowers Class of Computer. That way. next to where Gates Hall is now. As I say, at least half of our undergraduates now take at least one course in Bowers CIS, and this new building, amongst other things, is going to allow us to increase the number of CIS faculty by 40 to 50% in the next few years, while further advancing the stature of the department by drawing those most talented faculty here. And one more is McGraw Hall. Desperately been in preservation, and that was same time our core values, which includes the just something focusing on particularly we're looking towards something called just travel to the apartment. Efficiency in our operations. everything from the centralized water refrigeration system that shares rack compressor capacity on the base. And this award complements Dining's recent number two ranking for college food services in the Princeton Review. And for those of you who don't know yet, we now have two dining who are serving late night hours. North Star Dining on North Campus and Cookhouse on West Campus are open until 10:30 p.m. This is in response to requests we had from a number of student groups, including student athletes who are no interest. They can be conducted from private settings. But you know, just want to say I'm happy to have that discussion go on. But what I do want to say is some of the investments that have had one just the other day, staffers of Columbia University, from UCLA, they made these and related points. I mean, they really are of critical importance of upholding some of the I personally take a look at the video of the discussion. Ben's page of expression, a website for dentalbuddy.com/expression. We've had other events. We had a panel with our law school faculty. We had a talk on freedom of the press with Jamel Bowie from the New York Times. We had a presentation of the opera of Selina Ginsberg, which is about the famous friendship between Selina and Ruth Bader Ginsberg, herself a Cornell alumni. Very, very opposite political. There are a number of upcoming events. How do you help with the question. So we have one question about I think everybody knows, but let me know. Extended higher education to a much more but company that the link went to the button.
try and hit these questions quick so we can get to the answers. I want to give an update on food pantry, Wipe Out Hunger, particular initiatives that came forward in the question. I'll start with Swipe Out Hunger. That program is operational. It's going. We have students who have applied for it who have been granted meals already, or swipes, I should say, I guess. There was a lag initially. There were some dead web links that were out there. We got those quickly corrected. Those were just up to the first week or two of the semester. That program is underway. Historically, never let that be. So for the last 2 years, we've provided swipes back to students that have actually been donated to us. So Cornell Dining is essentially underwriting that program. So I do want to make it not just reliant on the donations. We're going to continue to make those available. The other thing I want to talk about is the food pantry. This was an active topic of discussion last year, and let me say this year it's been quite busy. The volume and the usage of the pantry has just about doubled this fall so far compared to last fall at the same time. So about twice the amount of food that we're purchasing and stocking in the food pantry, about twice the number of people that come to use it. So the good news is clearly people are aware of this resource and using it actively. It was just down there the other night on Tuesday when we get a shipment, there were a handful of folks, probably 10 or 12 folks lined up. We have had to begin a strategy to order more food and get food brought in to make sure that has put pressure on us. We're adding more food, we're adding more staffing to make sure we can get folks through it and continue to support those in our community. The other thing that we're doing is we're taking a close look at who's using the food pantry. I think you know the food pantry is wide open. Anyone can use it. You only have to register. And we want to select a quick update on that. This is brand new for us this year to have this process take place in the fall, but largely, it's not exclusively, it's largely. This part of the process is for current sophomores or above who are intending to stay on campus with us again in a future year. In the past, we would have made those individuals wait until this coming spring semester to apply to see if we had any left. What we heard from students prior to this change is that by that time, they needed to go find an off-campus apartment because they weren't sure if they were going to get off campus. So we moved it to the fall so the students could go through that process and then find out if they could get a space with us. And if not, then they had plenty of time to go and find out. We had 1,864 students secure rooms in that process last week. So that's really positive. To give you a little perspective of those numbers, that's about 650 people more were able to obtain housing than we've historically been able to provide. Some of you may be aware that on the first day of that general room selection, the website crashed. We use a third-party platform to manage our occupancy. It's the same company that uses virtually all the institutions in the country, and it's overwhelming. Overall, always things to refine in the process and the things like the website and all that, but at a macro level, really grateful that we have more students who want to stay on campus are able to stay.
Lovely. Thank you. Question for all of you. Now,
hello. Thank you for your announcement. This is my question related to indigenous students. However, many students have support feelings. My question is specifically that they're not.
Thank you. Vice President Lombardi.
Thank you, President Pollack and Vice President Lombardi. Last, at the spring presentation, you had mentioned that in the Greatest Good campaign, there'd be a certain amount of funds dedicated to increasing the number of financial aid spots. I think I was personally glad to hear that at the time, and I think that was sort of something the assembly at large was excited to hear. Would you mind giving us an update on the direction of that and the current plans to expand the number of sort of financial aid seats?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So we are $500 million. With that $500 million, we will do three things. At 1,000 aided students, now this is going to be when we're growing by 650, but so some will be shipped and we'll talk to. The second will be to reduce student loans on an average of 25%, and the third will be to offer any student who is here without loans, so a lower income student becomes debt free, at least one summer during which they can, their summer, say, summer expectation is waived, and they can do it no income or low income. I am pleased to say that we're about two-thirds of the way raising the money. Last I saw it was about $345 million, and we're about two-thirds of the way in our goal. We've added about 660 aided students. We've begun, those of you who are on aid know that we've begun increasing the grant aid and reducing the loan aid, and we have put in place that summer program. If we blow by half billion dollar goal, we'll do more. It is a real priority.
First of all, thank you. Thank you for your update, for your work, President. Given the fact that last week, the veterans community has been speaking within our community about us going to get more veterans who are coming to Cornell. How is Cornell prepared to make and prepare necessary to accommodate this growth?
Together, we have work for
I got so specific, I apologize, but I would invite I'd invite conversation. Especially as we anticipate potential growth, which would be terrific. See what gap.
Is that the reception we had for the veterans a few weeks ago?
Yes.
It was amazing. It was great. This room was packed. So thank you for coming.
Vice President Bree, 30 seconds.
Thank you, President Pollack, for your remarks about unions and, you know, the right people to organize. I was wondering, given that, as I'm sure you're aware, a supermajority of graduates have signed union cards, and there recently was a petition to have a union election, but in order to avoid this, you know, fairly costly and burdensome process, is there any plans in the works to voluntarily recognize, given the large majority of support?
Yeah, I can't answer that yet. I just don't know. I literally got the email about that 10 minutes before I came.
Any further comments or questions? Seeing none, thank you, Vice President Party.
Thank you all, and good luck on your feelings. Good luck.
Thank you.
And come out to homecoming this weekend.
Go Big Red.
Mara Bakri.
I'm present and I'm holding voting proxy for Karis Everett.
Lucia Balistrieri. Lizzie Barrett. Isa Tuberi. Rocco Lorenzo.
He's excused.
Niles Height.
Present.
Clyde Letterman.
Present.
Ezugo Ononye.
Present.
Suraj Puri. Casey Platkin. Imani Rizeka.
Present.
Andrew Richmond. Stellar Sun.
Present.
Andrew Talone. Benjamin Terhar. Claire Ting. Adam Vinson. Amy Wang.
Present.
Patrick Kiel.
Present. Thank you for doing that. How many voting members do we have? We will be moving on to the open microphone section. This is a time when community members can say a few words. Fourth section, Vice President De Lorenzo is not here, recruiting event, but we'll be finished. We will move that.
Okay, hello everyone. If you see right in front of you, we have a lovely chart that has all of a whole bunch of different motions that you can use. And it also gives the purpose of the motion and information about what's required for using it. So I definitely encourage everyone to take a read over that. And I'd also like to give a little bit of time if anyone has any questions about what's on here or about parliamentary procedure in general, I can take those now.
I would add to that, if anyone's thinking of any questions, you know, more things you can tell us about what you want in the training, thank you, would be very helpful. Just so we know, you know, I know there have been some questions recently, but part of our job is making sure that everyone knows what the rules are so that you can all fully engage and know what your rights are as members of the assembly. And hopefully we can be doing a better job of that going forward, but we hope to have some version of this chart at future meetings just so you can understand what the motions you can make and sort of a couple of basic rules around them. But yeah, any questions or concerns recently that we can answer?
Executive Vice President Tang.
Hi, first of all, I just want to say thank you for bringing much more parliamentary procedure knowledge to the assembly. So I see some terms here that haven't been previously used. On the back of the sheet, it says Section 29 demand a rising vote. If you can give some clarification on what that would mean.
Yeah, so a so in normal parliamentary procedure, you know, we use our placards to signify whether or not a member is voting in favor or against. But Robert's Rules also provides for a voice vote, whereas people just say yay or nay. So us using our placards is pretty much us automatically going to a rising vote. In assemblies that don't have placards, a rising vote will literally be members rising, standing up to show whether or not they're in favor of them. So, yeah.
And what also can happen is any member, and I think it's just one, no second is needed, can demand a sort of roll call, which is sort of recorded vote. This is actually in the Constitution for the House of Representatives, which is sort of unusual, but yes, anyone can do that here. Any other questions?
Lovely thing. One of four. What?
Did we skip the approval of the minutes?
Yeah, we're going to back to second on the floor. Second. By unanimous consent. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing none, that is done. Motion to amend is recognized. Is there a second on the floor? Is that amending two, or were you here or not? Okay, amend to present. What if it? Both those amendments on the floor will be doing it simultaneously. Is there any dissent to both those? Seeing none, they will be done.
I ask unanimous consent that the meeting minutes be adopted.
Is there a second on the floor? There's a second. Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, the meeting minutes are adopted with those. Vice President Letterman.
Mr. President, I have a parliamentary inquiry. The election rules state that the petitioning period concluded on the evening of the 26th. Yet the current information says that petitions will be received until the evening of the 28th. Would you mind providing a ruling on this issue?
Absolutely. In the interest of inclusive petitions, I think it's okay if we accept this. Director Revol.
I'm going to raise a point of information to make an announcement about this, but seeing that there have been multiple people who have reached out and to increase engagement with the student assembly elections process, we've agreed as a committee to extend the petitioning period until the evening of the 29th, until the Office of Assemblies closes, so 5 p.m. If you are interested in submitting petitions, please submit them in person to the Office of Assemblies. You can also try submitting them earlier via email at assembly@cornell.edu and then dropping them off. As long as we can get it before the deadline, that would be greatly appreciated.
Lovely. Vice President Letterman.
My parliamentary inquiry, I don't believe, while I have no objection to these being extended, I don't believe there exists an authorization for the Elections Committee to adjust the election rules without the consent of the Assembly. So I would ask that either a motion be made to do that or that the election rules as adopted be enforced.
Director Verma, would you be amenable to making a motion to amend and extend the deadline? Right?
Point of information. As per the election rules, there is not an explicit section that lists the calendar. It is set by the Elections Committee, so I'm not sure how to make the motion.
I will defer to Parliamentary McGrath. Parliamentary McGrath said that he needs to read the election rules. I'm making a decision right now that we can just extend it to the point. I think that's in the
So for the position extended, is it just for the ones that are still vacant, or like if there's still like people for the people?
Director Verma, you can respond.
Seeing that we do have openings on the UMAC and AAP positions, we had initially hoped to open petitioning to these two positions as a point. Sending the flag that they set discussion right now.
Would it take now about a confirmation from the Assembly to formalize that? I believe within the Elections Committee's purview to adjust the calendar, since nothing is rules explicitly being changed. The petition signatures are still the same. It's rather the processing time and allowing on the spirit of the idea of inclusion and community engagement to solicit more interest and allow for more time for candidates for the Human Ecology and AAPC.
Yeah, as this seems to exist in a rather gray area in terms of what the Elections Committee is allowed to do, Patrick's ruling in order to affirm what the Elections Committee is doing is completely valid. If the Assembly would like to go ahead, it can affirm what the Elections Committee has done. It would be affirming this slightly revised calendar. However, unless anyone plans to appeal the President's ruling, the ruling is valid.
Thank you. Does anybody want to appeal my decision? Okay, lovely. We will be moving on. Chair would smile favorably on a motion to recess for 5 minutes to give Vice President.
To recess for 5 minutes so that we are able to get in touch with Steve DiLorenzo by unanimous consent.
Motion on the floor is to recess for 10 minutes. There was a second. All right, recess for 5 minutes. There was a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we are recessed for 5 minutes. Vice Presidents Parikh and Letterman. Thank you. We can announce announcement before we get back going. I'm going to call this section. Parliamentary McGuard sent out a confidentiality agreement to everybody. Please sign that and get that back to him so we can have those on file. It allows us to go into executive session for these meetings to talk about finances. This session, it's like we run through the list. Chair would smile favorably on a motion to move into executive session. Vice President Ting. There's a second on the floor to move into executive session. That's by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent to that motion? Seeing none, we're now in executive session, and we'll have to ask every non-voting member and executive board. thoughts on ACT. Give you some clarification. Are there any anything further? Representative Sun. That motion is in order. That motion is in order. Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.